you know, you really sometimes have to play with the wind. You just can't go straight all the time. A lot of times you have to really do a lot of these zigzag patterns, and then finally you get to your destination as to where you want to go. Hi, this is Anita from the Dusty Roads podcast and from the blog, A Bus on a Dusty Road. Today, I want to kind of go back a little bit into ancient times and talk about old ships, in particular, sailing ships. A lot of people on the internet have asked the question, how could old ships sail without wind in the ancient times? Now, this is actually a pretty good question because, you know, how could these old ships sail without wind? They, you know, were dependent upon the wind. And if they didn't have the wind, how could they sail? Well, the truth is, they couldn't sail without wind. They didn't have a motor, and they were not able to move unless they would row or they would be somehow towed or pulled along. You know, this became such a important thing that there was even became a word that they would call this, and the word was becalmed. You know, if the ancient sailors could not sail, if there was no wind, they would either have to sit and wait it out, or, you know, they, like I said, they'd have to row, or they'd have to find someone to push them. They'd have to do something. They couldn't go anywhere because there was no motor, and they would have to basically wait. The Collins Dictionary defines becalmed as of sailing boat or ship motionless through the lack of wind. These ancient sailors, they understood how important the wind was to them. They understood that it was the wind that would drive their boats forward, and without it, they just simply could not continue to sail. You know, sometimes it's recorded that the becalmed state could happen for a few hours or, you know, even for weeks at a time. A ship would be basically sitting there and waiting for the wind to come so that they could be able to go and sail. You know, sailing in the ancient ships, when we think back on it, it's literally thousands of years old. And for thousands of years, you know, men have been using wind to be able to guide them over the waters to get them to their destinations. And because of this, with the sailing, men have been able to go onto these ships and they've been able to discover new lands and new places. They've been able to discover new cultures. It's interesting to note that the first sailing ships were actually from what's called the Austronesian people, who are in present-day Taiwan, Indonesia, Vietnam, and Cambodia, and sort of that area of the world down there, that they were the first people to invent sailing vessels that could sail over large bodies of water. But one of the things that I want to talk about today is something that I think very few of us think about. And I know that I don't think about it, even though I love sailing, and sailing is a sport that I really enjoy. But, you know, over the years, the technology has changed with sailing, which has allowed for these boats to be able to sail in directions they never could before. You know, the first boats were just simple boats that, you know, just probably had one sail and they would just, the wind would be behind them. And wherever the wind pushed them was where they could go. And then over the years, you know, men began to understand and women began to understand, you know, more about technology. They began to understand better how to use the wind, how to use the sails, how to navigate through, you know, through the world and how basically how to read the stars, how to read the sun, how to, you know, have all this understanding. A lot of times today we take all of this for granted. We don't really think about what this meant for people to really create this and develop this and what it means to us today. You know, because sailing boats are something that people have had for thousands of years. But throughout all these years, the sailors are pretty much dependent upon the wind. And they depend upon this wind and the weather and the understanding of it to be able to really help them to go over these waters. But yet we underestimate how much our forefathers and our forebears used their ingenuity to be able to understand more about the wind. And anyone out there who's a sailor, there's basically two maneuvers, a couple maneuvers that became very important, which were created. You know, and one was, of course, the sail of having a jib sail, which the jib sail is a sail which is at the front of the boat, or it's connected to the bow of the boat. And the mainsail, which the mainsail is basically in the back of the boat, it's connected to the stern. So if you think about these two sails are on a lot of sailboats today, that, you know, this ability for men or our forefathers to be able to understand that, you know, you could go in, you know, if the wind direction was coming towards you, you could basically tack your boat, you know, which basically you would take the stern and then you could be able to turn your boat. You could change the direction of the wind. So in other words, that you could catch that wind. Or you could do what's called a jib, where basically it has to do with the jibby manure, which has to do with the stern of the boat. You know, the tacking, which is used today a lot in sailing, is where, you know, these sailing vessels were able to then to continue on their desired course in the wind. You know, sometimes they had to do zigzag patterns. Sometimes they had to, you know, go back and forth a bit, but this would allow them and these ancient sailors to be able to catch the wind, you know, and catch these quick winds to be able to sail as fast as they could sail over those waters. You know, we don't really think about these maneuvers and what they meant for history and for individuals and for these boats to be able to change and to be able to basically say, here's our course we're going to set. And with this course, we're going to be able to, you know, pretty much go straight and we're going to be able to, you know, reach our destination. We're going to be able to go to the shores and do the trading and all of the other things. I've talked before in these podcasts about how, you know, many of these ancient traders, you know, they brought food, they brought culture, they brought other things with them to all these countries, especially in Asia. You know, for example, in Vietnam, peanuts are not originally from Vietnam, nor is cashews. These all came by traders who brought them over, brought them to these countries, and now it's considered to be a major part of the Vietnamese diet. Also, what I find so fascinating is the hot red chili peppers that Thailand, they were brought to Thailand, but that is not a native food of Thailand. That was brought in by the traders that came through on some of Columbus's, some of the ships that came after Columbus and started traveling around the world. I find that so fascinating because if today anyone goes to Thailand, what do the Thais live on? They live on these hot, spicy red peppers. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, what was Thai food like before these red peppers came in? You know, it didn't have the taste. And what happened when they didn't have the peanuts and you couldn't have the satay with the peanut sauce and you couldn't have the hot red curries? What was Thai food like? Was it just a very sort of simple, basic food? You know, we really need to thank all of these traders that came and went around the world and could basically learn these maneuvers from their sailboats so that they could be able to go to their destination. You know, we often don't think about this. We don't think about how all of these things over the years were being created. And as they were being created, it actually had a profound effect on many cultures and places around the world. That the early traders that came to these places, that the early explorers, and when I say men, I mean men because mainly it was men, even though there would have been some women on the ships too, but it was mainly the men that were going along, these great adventurers that left their home, left the comforts of their home. They didn't know if they're going to ever come back again and didn't come back for years and years at a time and would go to these ancient cultures and to these ancient people and they would try to trade with them and try to learn some of their culture and some of the places and also some of the, you know, the Jesuits and some of the other missionaries and how they came and the influence that they had upon these countries as we know them today. We can never really quite underestimate the effect that they have had upon these countries and these nations. And it also, you know, goes with their ability, though, the whole invention of the sailing vessel, of these big vessels that could go over the ocean, that were able to catch the wind and handle the wind, allowed for these explorers to go. Without a ship like that, Christopher Columbus would never have been able to discover America. He simply would not have had the ability with the wind. You know, he would have just had to get on his ship and basically hope wherever the wind takes me, I'm gonna go there. And, you know, chances are he could have probably ended up in a big circle or something. But, you know, he probably would not have ended up on America and would not have ended up there. And that would have changed the whole course of history as we know it today. But it was because of their ability that the sailors created these sailing maneuvers, and that they created the ability to be able, in particular, for the tacking and the jibbing. And another thing, which is called the you know, sometimes jibbing is called the wearing. And they had this ability that they began to understand the wind, that they understood how they could catch the wind. They understood how to be able to have the wind help them to go in the right direction. You know, because face it, if you've ever been out there, anyone's ever been out there sailing, you understand that, you know, you really sometimes have to play with the wind. You just can't go straight all the time. A lot of times you have to really do a lot of these zigzag patterns. And then finally you get to your destination as to where you want to go. And these sailors had the same way, but they had to understand this too. Another thing which I find very fascinating with this is, you know, without them having a compass or a GPS like we have today, because we are, you know, we're so lucky because, you know, we have GPS, we have compasses, we have technology. You know, how were they able to find and understand their destinations? Well, they were actually great astronomers. They understood how to read the stars. They understood how to read the sun. They understood the position of the sun. They understood how to basically make their own compasses. They understood that the sun, no matter where you were in the world, they began to discover that no matter where you are in the world, the sun is going to always set, is always going to rise in the east and set in the west. And that this is really an interesting point to understand. I guess I feel like sometimes we live in such a modern world that we have forgotten some of these simple and basic things. We forget these things of nature. We forget the fact that the sun will always rise in the east and it will set in the west. You know, we forget that, you know, if we look up and it's the hottest part of the day, that the sun will be, you know, pretty much directly over us. It will be the highest point that the sun will be. And that, you know, if you're on the northern hemisphere, the highest point of the sun will be south. If you're at the southern hemisphere, the highest point of the sun will be north. And if you're at the equator, the highest point of the sun will be directly over your head. But, you know, but these ancient explorers, these men and these women, these ships who went around the world, they actually, you know, they understood all of this and they lived with this every single day of their lives. They understood how important it was to be able to understand the sun, to understand the wind, to be able to understand the stars, you know, when they were sailing at night, to be able to have the stars be able to guide them, to be able to know these stars and to be able to know how the stars were, what direction they were going because of being able to see the stars. I think in our society today that these are some simple things that we maybe have forgotten. We have forgotten to really observe nature and to look at nature, to look at things around us. We've forgotten the wonder of things that we take for granted, like these sailing maneuvers that these men or women were able to understand and create by understanding the wind. We forget that there was somebody out there who actually created that, somebody out there who gave us that. And because of them, we have that today. We sometimes forget to be able to look around and look at nature. We get so focused on our phones and on our iPads. We get so focused on watching TV. We get so focused on being entertained in somehow that we sometimes forget the beauty of other things that surround us. And this is one of the things why I love traveling so much and going out and seeing things. Because when you go out and you travel and you see culture and you begin to understand history and you go to an ancient temple and you think about the wonder of how was this temple made and how were they able to create this during this time, or you go to a great monument like the Great Wall of China and you go up on the Great Wall there and you wonder how were they able to create this wall. It sort of forces us to get out of our digital world that we have today, this world of where we're always looking at our phone or we're always checking our messages or we always have to be connected. When we do that kind of travel and we go out to these places, it really forces us to be able to be kind of a bit like our forefathers and to look at nature, to look at some of the wonders of the world, and to be in awe of this wonderful world in which we live. I hope that you've enjoyed some of my thoughts today and a little bit of maybe my ramblings about life and travel and being a global citizen, because this is all the part of being a global citizen. You know, being a global citizen is understanding, being in awe of all of these wonders that surround us. It's about living life to the fullest. It's about embracing our global selves and wanting to embrace that global self. It doesn't mean you have to travel, and some of you may not be in a circumstance to be able to travel. That's okay. But, you know, if you can just want to learn about the world and want to learn about these things, then you're already much further ahead than a lot of other people are in this world. Thank you so much for listening. We truly do appreciate your support. And we hope that you'll subscribe to our channel and that you'll check out our blog, A Bus on a Dusty Road. And we really do appreciate you and your time. Thank you.